그런 것이 없는데. 네?
Yeah.
Attachment is transferred to Krishna, both of them become Krishna conscious, and then marriage is very nice. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore recommends anasaktasya vishayan yatartham upayunishataha. Nirbandha Krishna sampande yukta vairagya vachate. Man and woman should live together as householders in relationship with Krishna only for the purpose of discharging duties in the service of Krishna. Engage the children, engage the wife, and engage the husband all in Krishna conscious duties, and then all these bodily or material attachments will disappear. Since the via medium is Krishna, the consciousness is pure and there is no possibility of degradation at any time. Text 33, due to a particular type of body, the materialistic living entity wanders from one planet to another, following fruitive activities. In this way, he involves himself in fruitive activities and enjoys the result incessantly. For Prabhupada, the living entity is encaged in the material body, is called Jiva Bhuta, and when he is freed from the material body, he is called Brahma Bhuta. By changing his material body birth after birth, he travels not only in the different species of life, but also from one planet to another. Lord Chaitanya says that the living entities, bound up by fruitive activities, are wandering in this way through the whole universe. And if by some chance, or by pious activities, they get in touch with the bona fide spiritual master, by the grace of Krishna, then they get the seed of devotional service. After getting the seed, one sows it within his heart and pours water on it by hearing and chanting. The seed grows into a big plant, and there are fruits and flowers which the living entity can enjoy, even in this material world. That is called the Brahma Bhuta stage. In his designated condition, a living entity is called materialistic, and upon being free from all designations, when he is fully Krishna conscious, engaged in devotional service, he is called liberated. Unless one gets the opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of the Lord, there's no possibility of one's liberation from the cycle of birth and death and different species of life and through the different grades of manas. Translation, therefore, woman should consider her husband, her house, her children to be the arrangement of the external energy of the Lord for her death, just as the sweet singing of the hunter is here, death for the deer. due to this particular type of body, the materialistic living energy wanders from one planet to another, following route of activities. In this way, he involves himself in fruitive activities and enjoys the result incessantly. So previously it was explained how the man, actually the jiva in the womb, comes out and then develops all sorts of attachments, and among these attachments, the attachment to woman is very, very strong, an embodiment of Maya. But then this is not a condemnation of woman as such, because woman also becomes attached to man, and man becomes the cause of her bondage in the material world. And in the last verse described how the living entity, because of attaching to the woman, then he becomes a woman in the next lifetime, and then as a woman, she becomes attached to a man. So a woman is not condemned, but rather the object of affection is condemned, whether it is man or woman. So this verse here is talking about woman. This says the man has to become detached from the woman, so the woman has to become detached from the man. And in this way, only living entity can be saved. So the next verse describes how the living entity simply wanders around from body to body in the material world, and getting the results of karma, whatever. So this is, of course, very straightforward. What Chaitanya has also mentioned is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. We see this also mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. The living entity simply wanders. So this means that in ignorance, the jiva actually doesn't know what his goal is. Either short-term or long-term. Or short-term, we can say, yes, they want to enjoy family life or whatever. That's about it. But even in this lifetime, to have higher goals is very difficult for the jiva, even in the human form. And to have long-term goals over many lifetimes is even harder. So, therefore, the jiva wanders around in the material world without any apparent aim, which means sometimes he's a human being, sometimes an animal, sometimes a plant, sometimes a devata or whatever. And he goes up and down. If the jiva were continuing to progress from plant to animal to human being to devata to brahmaloka, and go up, then that would be fine. That would be an aim. It would be a regular progress of the material world. But we don't see that. We see the living entities wandering around from one species to the other. If one is in the human species, again, if we saw a methodical development in human species from an ignorant person, and then he goes to tamagun to rajagun, from rajagun to sattvagun, then we would say, oh, that's okay. But we don't see that. We see the living entity wanders around, and sometimes he may be sattvic, sometimes he may be tamasic, sometimes rajasic. And so the living entity seems simply to be wandering from body to body with different types of, apparently different types of desires, but actually similar desires in different bodies, life after life. The only thing that changes is the body changes according to karma. And though he may want to stay in one particular condition, because of his actions, he is destined to go somewhere else. And because we don't know the law of karma, this is unpredictable where we're going to go. Of course, if one studies the law of karma and the activities of the person in this lifetime, we can predict. But the people don't know about that, so therefore it looks very aimless. So though it is an aimless wandering of the jiva in the material world, it's not really aimless. It is according to the law of karma. But because the jiva doesn't know the law of karma, it looks like it is aimless, going up and down everywhere. So this means that sometimes the jiva does good acts and he gets good bodies. Sometimes it's bad acts and he gets bad bodies. And he doesn't know how this principle is operating. So he goes, this goes up and down, up and down, up and down like this. So if one becomes aware of the law of karma, then as a human being we have advantage, because we can use the law of karma not to go downwards. So we can progress. So this is implicit in the Varnashram system or Karma Yoga, that the system is there to gradually elevate people upwards from Tamagun to Sattvagun, and Sattvagun to Mukti. So we have Artha, Dharma, Kama, and Moksha as the goals. One does Karma Yoga, and when one gets to Sattva, then one does Jnana and Yoga, and then one can get liberation. Or one can do Bhakti, and then one goes to the spiritual world. So these are the broad plans given in the Vedic literature for how a jiva should not wander in the world, but rather follow a system and end up ending this bondage in the material world, as it's described here. So the process is described. At the same time, the whole process is rejected by Bhagavatam, because it says it rejects all cheating dharmas. So it does not take assistance of anything, but only it recommends pure bhakti. This is the process that should be followed. And so if we want to end this problem in the material with the attachments and the birth and the death and being born in a womb, etc., then one has to simply adopt the process of pure bhakti, and that will end everything. So, although that system is there, karma and jnana and yoga, etc., that can be ignored, particularly in this age, as being impractical. And instead we take the process of bhakti. So this whole condition here is described so that we get an understanding of the material world. As was mentioned here, generally the people are in ignorance, so they don't know the truth about the material world. So these descriptions of Kapila Deva there too give us an idea about the real nature of the material world. And again, in the fifth canto, there is a description there where Bharat talks to Rahugana and gives a description of the material world again, which is not very pleasant. So these descriptions about the negative aspects of the material world are a negative sort of impetus to get us to find the solution to the problem of material existence. At the same time, we should not think that everything in the material world is bad, because as Prabhupada is quoted here, we can do yukta vairagya. So we don't have to reject the whole material world despite the fact that it causes problems. So it's only a matter of how the material world is viewed and how it is used that creates the problem. So as I said, it's not that the man is bad or the woman is bad, even though they create maya for the opposite sex, but rather it is the way in which we look at the man or the woman and how we interact with them and use them. So if everything in the material world is not regarded as an object of enjoyment, but rather as something for serving Krishna, then it has no longer that negative connotation of the maya. On the other hand, the jnanis, they will simply reject the material world as being maya, and therefore they will give up all activities in association with the material world and practice vairagya and live in the forest, etc. So the devotee, on the other hand, does not give up the material object, but rather engages them nicely in the service of Krishna. And in this way, he can progress. So that is the difference between, one of the differences between bhakti and the other processes. It does not require complete renunciation, but rather renunciation of material desires and using those objects for the Supreme Lord. And if that can be done successfully, then we can practice bhakti and solve the problem of material existence, as mentioned here. And if we don't take the process of bhakti, then chances are it'll be difficult for us to solve this problem in the material world. The other processes are not recommended in Kali Yuga. So therefore, if we keep attempting these other processes, we're bound to fail. The only solution is the process of bhakti. The sages in Nāmi-śaranya asked Sūta Goswami, what do we do in Kali Yuga if Dharma is gone with Krishna? And Sūta Goswami answered, Krishna is the beard of Bhagavatam. This is the light of Kali Yuga. This will give us proper knowledge. And so what is Bhagavatam saying? Bhagavatam says, give up everything and simply practice devotion to Krishna. That is the best recommendation of all. So in spite of the difficulties of Kali Yuga, the only real hope is one has to worship the Supreme Lord. If one has problems, one should not think of escaping from the problems by this arrangement or that arrangement. That won't work. The main thing is to surrender to Krishna. That's always going to work. Other things are all superficial circumstances or senses. So, in this way, devotees should understand that the main principle is this bhakti and engage whatever is there for the service of the Lord. And this way, we will overcome this wandering in the material world, birth after birth, and all sorts of different bodies. So to do that, the Srimad Bhagavatam gives us not only negative implications of the material world in these descriptions, but also the positive aspect in the form of the descriptions of the pastimes of the Lord. So if one can begin to appreciate those, then this acts as a positive stimulus for development of bhakti. And so not only the world is bad, but the Supreme Lord is all attractive. And we develop that attraction by hearing about his form, qualities, and activities, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So if we do that, then we can solve this problem. So bhakti is the process, and in that process we have the hearing, chanting, remembering process, involving chanting, Nam Sankirtan, and listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. So if we do that, then we become successful. Yeah.
But
you are rejecting this thing
that in Varnasamadharma you are following, but you are not worshipping
Krishna. They are very, very hidden. Yes, that's what I said. Practicing bhakti yoga, sir. Now, how one can... It's not practical in Kali Yuga. Just do bhakti. Though it is recommended by Veda Vyas, Narada Muni says this is all bad. Because people will simply become attracted to karma yoga and their duties and whatever, and they won't advance beyond karma yoga to jnana or to bhakti. So better we don't even tell them about this, you simply do bhakti yoga. Yeah, that's the cheating version, varnashram. Yeah. Of course, we'll say, why Dharma? Because Krishna says again and again, I come and teach Dharma. But of course, Dharma means two things. In this sense, the Dharma means not bhakti. Bhakti is separate. And now when Krishna says, I come and teach Dharma, that of course includes bhakti as well as the other things, like varnashram, etc. So, artha, dharma, kama, and moksha. So, of course, artha means material things. Kama means more than material things. Not just subsistence, but we want extra enjoyment that you don't really need to survive with. You need some food and air and water and clothing and house, etc. for survival. Then you need something else for your enjoyment. That is kama. So we have artha and kama. And we have dharma. Dharma is a little different. It looks a little different because it appears to be all pious, pious acts, etc., things you should do and should not do. It looks good. So this is what we call normal religious activities, piety, etc. But the problem with these acts is based on the concept of good and bad, which is avoid hell and go to heaven. which is material. So it's not a cause of liberation, it's a cause of going up the sattva guna in the material world, basically. That's dharma. So that is what the varnashram system, the rules of varnashram system do. They create a process by which we rise up in the material world. Moksha is the last point. So in a sense we can say that the dharma itself includes moksha, but then generally we separate and we say that after we do the dharma or karma yoga, then we go to jnana. So jnana is the sattvic aspect. And by jnana and yoga, we go through sattva and then we get up to liberation. Now what's wrong with the liberation is that, yes, it's spiritual, but it is only like a shadow of spiritual life. It is only like the effulgence of Krishna. So it is not the real ananda. And so therefore all of these, the varnashram system, artha, dharma, kama, and moksha, and jnana, and yoga, they are all rejected. And only bhakti, worshipping Krishna, is accepted as the process, because that gives a place in the spiritual world of serving Krishna. The others don't. By association of devotees, they can become devotees. But they may become Jnana Misra Bhaktas also, instead of Sudha Bhaktas. Well, yeah, it's possible, as in the case of Sukadeva. He became pure devotee, but he was Jnani in the beginning. Then he became Sudha Bhakta. Others may become Jnana Misra Bhaktas also. They may still be attached or influenced by that Jnana, even though they're devotees, so they become Jnana Misra Bhaktas. Yeah, well, they can go to the spiritual world also, and they can get Shantarasa. Because of the mixture of jnana, and their relationship with Krishna is very weak, neutral.
What about the yogi, the realization?
They also get generally shanta with maybe slight dasya. But there's also a lot of shanta in there, because they don't serve the Lord, so it's a rather neutral relationship also. When they start serving the Lord, then it becomes bhakti. So when they're just meditating on that Vishnu form without any service, then it is, you know, there's no relationship as such. They can go to Godhead in a sense. They can go to Vaikuntha and have Shantarasa as Yoga Mr. Bhakta or Jnana Mr. Bhakta. If they want to get Dasya Rasa and all that, then they have to give up that mixture just to Sudha Bhakti, pure Bhakti, without any influence of Jnana or Yoga.
Well,
Jnani doesn't get to the spiritual world, he's only in Brahman. Not even Shantra Rasa. Yogi and Jnani, yeah, they can. If they do bhakti and they have jnanas or yoga or bhakti, then they go to the spiritual world. If they don't, then they end up in impersonal Brahman. But even then, to get to the impersonal Brahman, they have to do a little bhakti. They cannot do aparat to the Lord. If they do, they cannot even get liberation in impersonal Brahman. Can't even get that.
I think generally, if they practice bhakti-yoga, then they faster progress in spiritual.
Well, jnana is also a step. Atma jnana, Bhagavad Gita is the second chapter. A lot of us devoted to atma jnana. So it's one step, but it's not the final thing. So in bhakti also, we have to know we're different from the body. So we have atma jnana also. Jnana is also there. But more than that, we also have other knowledge we have to have. So it's one step.
You see, in the case of Parikshit, Rakshaka snake is coming and finally biting him. So, what way does he solve the problem? Parikshit is still affected by the problem that the snake is coming and biting. So, here in Bhagavatam.
What way has solved this problem?
Oh, the problem is solved because he's no longer attached to the material world and he's only thinking of Krishna. That is the solution. Life and death in the material world is no consequence to him. He doesn't care whether he's a king and he's living or what. It doesn't matter. Material is insignificant to him. As long as he has attachment to Krishna. And he says when he's hearing Bhagavatam, now that I'm hearing Bhagavatam, I don't have any thirst and I don't have any hunger, even though I've been fasting for 7 days. Because I'm drinking the nectar of the Srimad Bhagavatam, so that is nourishing me. Yeah? So he's no longer attached to the material body and life and death and all of this at all. He understands only that attachment to Krishna is the only meaning for the jiva. So he's completely transcended the identification with material body.
Nirantara Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Jivan Ke Desi Bhagavatam Sri Prabhupada ki
jai.